Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. You're going to be glad you did because we have an amazing guest, not just a guest, but many guests. Yes, it's your questions, our answers. Ask the guys on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
It is summer and things are heating up.
Yes, they are. And it's always fun to be on the radio when things are hot.
Yes, and markets are hot. People's tempers are hot. The election's hot. Everything's hot. And today, we're reaching into the mail grab bag. It is Ask the Guys, your questions, our answers. If you go to our website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Ask the Guys, you get to ask us questions. What we do is we compile those questions and we look for ones we think the audience would in generally get benefit of us answering. That's what we're going to do today. So we can't promise to answer every question, but we're going to get to a bunch. Here are the only caveats. Number one, we do not give advice. We give ideas and information. And number two, we are not attorneys or tax professionals. So sometimes we have questions of that nature, but we'll do our best to give you some ideas. You'll have to check with your counsel. So here we go. Our first question comes from Nicole in York, Pennsylvania. Hi, I just found your show and love all the valuable information you're providing. My husband and I have always been interested in real estate investing and have a small amount of cash, $30,000, to begin purchasing something to start. We're hoping for the $30,000 to be the 20% down payment, and we'll finance the other 80%. We're particularly interested in the condo rental market in Florida, but looking for some advice on the overall picture of that and where it might be headed, or if it would be better to start with a small residential unit close to home to rent out. Just looking for some expert advice on best places to start. Thanks so much. All right. Well, again, Nicole, no advice, but ideas and information.
Yeah, the first thing you want to do is go visit with your mortgage professional and figure out exactly what you can qualify for. What you're trying to do, 20% down, probably very doable, assuming you've got decent credit, good documentable income. The other thing you need to know is if you have $30,000 total, you're going to need reserves. And if it's an income property, you're going to need usually 6 months principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So a good mortgage pro will be able to sit down and go through your financials with you and help you understand exactly what you can qualify for. And that way, when you're out there looking for that right property, you're going to know exactly what you can afford.
Now, let's talk about where to invest. I like to say live where you want to live and invest where the numbers make sense. If around you in York, Pennsylvania, there are good investment properties, well, there's certainly no harm in starting close to home. The idea of investing in a property in Florida, though, the condo rental market, I wish that were just one market. If you mean the month-to-month rental market, someone who would rent a condo from you in Florida versus the overnight rental market for condos in Florida, two very different markets, and of course, lots of different markets in Florida. As a real estate investor, when you go outside of your immediate area, it's just a whole nother round of kissing frogs, meeting people, finding a team, learning the market, and we're all for that. We're big proponents of that, in fact. It's just the why behind that market you need to understand. Now, as far as the overall picture and where it might be headed, well, experts predict that the Florida market will either be rising or declining in the future.
Florida's actually been a great market, been a great job creation market. It's a very business-friendly, tax-friendly state. It's been the beneficiary of a lot of baby boomers moving in that direction as they're retiring. It's one of the most favorite, if not the most favorite, state to retire in. So it's got a lot of things going for it. It's a working class. Many parts of Florida are working class. Also resort, as Robert alluded to, although at that price point, you're probably not going to be in resort areas. You're going to be in blue blue-collar, working-class neighborhoods, but there's a lot of those out there. We are particularly fond of the Central Florida market. The other part of it, too, with limited resources, is you're going to have to allocate some of that towards travel and due diligence, and you're going to have to spend time. More important than the property is the team. And whoever's going to be managing that asset for you month in and month out, making sure it stays tenanted with the right people and collecting the money, managing the expenses and delivering to you that positive cash flow that you're hopefully going to get from the investment, that's critical. So don't be skimpy on spending time picking the right person. Shop probably even more for the property management company and let them actually help you find the property. And this is especially true if you're going to be investing out of area.
If you plan to own a lot of properties over time, then you got to get your foot in the door and buy the first one. With $30,000 down and the points that Russ brought up about reserves and closing costs even, you're probably talking about a fairly modestly priced property. I'm not sure the condo rental market in Florida is modestly priced in that regard. I think there's a lot of other markets you might consider. Look around a little bit. Listen to what you hear on shows like ours about where markets are exciting for real estate investors and where there's good opportunity. And then check out the market. But absolutely, you're going in the right direction. You're thinking about the right things. And this is a great start.
Yeah, I've got a couple other quick things just specific to condos. One thing when you're looking at condominiums you have to really pay attention to is the condition of the homeowners association and the possibility or even probability of having some type of big capital call, if you will, down the road if that thing's undercapitalized. If you don't even know what any of that means, then spend some time with an experienced real estate investor or an investment broker who can help you understand the dangers or the risks, I should say, of homeowners associations, and especially talk to your mortgage professional with respect to the financing available coming in and getting out when it comes to condos. The other thing you might consider is where we're at in the cycle. And again, real estate is not a market. It's not an asset class. It's really very market specific or locality specific, right down to the neighborhood. But when you have a pretty hot market, and we started off the top of the show talking about how things are a little bit hot. Real estate's popular again, and there's a lot of money getting involved in real estate, especially with everything going on in the world. U.S. real estate is considered to be somewhat of a safe haven. So you got money coming in from a lot of different places. Interest rates are very, very low, and you could make the argument they're probably going to continue to drop lower, but you also could make the argument that they could go up. So you can't really look at falling interest rates to save you in a tight cash flow situation. So one thing you might think about, depending, is the opportunity to buy something below value and add value to it on the front end. That way you get a little bit of protective equity from sweat equity. Might make it easier for you to do that if you're nearer to where you happen to live. And I have no idea what your skill sets are, what you have to work with. But again, when you're talking about having limited front-end resources, purchase equity of $30,000, and you're going to have to spend some of that on due diligence and some of that on reserves, one way to create a faster equity experience is to force it into the property by going in and buying an ugly duckling and bringing it up to market value.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Nicole. Our next question comes from Brian in Georgetown, Massachusetts. He says, I'm a 23-year-old with a full-time job living at home. After seeing my friends get apartments and pay rent, I've come to realize that renting is a waste of money.
Well, you know, when you're 23 years old, living at home is a full-time job.
It can be. Thus, I'm considering buying a home or condo. Any advice for a young first-time home buyer, for instance, a single family or multifamily or condo? And how much is the ideal percentage to put down? Who should I have behind me or on my team when considering when I am in the right situation? Thanks, Brian. Well, first of all, Brian, congratulations. 23, a great age to start investing in real estate. And it's always a decision, do I rent, do I buy? And there's both sides of the fence to talk about. Many times when we're young and we're growing our careers and our businesses, we're willing to live in a place that we may not want to actually own, but we can save money by renting. A great place, for instance, might be with mom and dad. So there you go. The longer you can stay with friends and relatives and sock some money away, perhaps the better. But at some point, it might make sense, depending again on your personal investment philosophy, to get into a property that you own. And so there's a lot here. As a first-time home buyer, there's a good chance there might be some mortgage programs available to you that might not be available to non-first-time home buyers.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like a little bit of a broken record, but you really should start by going and meeting with a mortgage pro.
Brian's 23 years old. He doesn't know what a record is.
That's right, especially a broken one. Anyway, something that just keeps repeating itself because the needle is stuck in one groove. And of course, if you understood what that meant.
There you go. It's anyway. All good.
But here's the point. When you meet with a mortgage professional, they're going to pull your credit. They're going to tell you what your credit score is. A lot of times when you're young, you really haven't fully developed your credit score. There are things that you can begin to do. And so what I'm talking about is planning your approach to property ownership, maybe even a year in advance or further. So what you're doing is you're beginning to find out where you're at, but the things that you can do to improve your situation. So the two main things that you have to leverage going in is your income, your documentable income, and your credit score. And if your income is low enough, in some places you can get a very low down payment, 3% or even down payment assistance programs. In that case, you may want to go owner-occupied because you only get to do that on an owner-occupied property. And it may be that saving the down payment will take a lot longer. So you do that first property as owner occupied. Now, that doesn't mean that you buy the property that you want to live in the rest of your life or that is ultimately a property you even like to live in all that much. You could buy something that would make a good investment property, buy it as an owner occupant, live in it for a little while, and then turn it into its ultimate use, which you'd like to have it be an income property. Now you've gotten in for very low money down, leveraging your income and your credit score. And again, as I said on the previous question, if you have the opportunity to fix it up and do something to force some equity into it, continue to work with your mortgage pro, maybe within a couple of years, you're going to have some equity. You can refinance that equity out, a piece of it, and use it for a down payment on your next property, your next investment property. And that's what we used to call it rabbit investing, but you're basically harvesting or repositioning equity and re-leveraging your portfolio to continue to add more top line property. But your mortgage professional is your best friend. You ask, who do you need to have on your team when you're just getting started? You got to have a great mortgage professional helping you get the most out of your income, your credit score.
Well, at 23, you also might need a cosigner. I'm going to guess that your credit's probably not too badly blemished, but it also might not be good enough to get a loan. And you're looking at assets and how much cash you have in the bank. So you also might need to approach mom and dad or somebody about cosigning on a loan. Let's talk about the real estate for a minute. Definitely, Russ had some great ideas when it came to condominiums because of the HOAs and the dues and the potential liabilities. So I would tend to shy away from a condominium to start. A single family home is always a good bet in terms of its liquidity. And there may be some things you're willing to do where you can move in, do the work while you're living there, and force some equity. On the other hand, my first property was a duplex. I lived for a while in a 7-unit building that I owned. By the way, while I lived there in one of the units, I never once told any of the people living there that I was the owner of the building. They knew the owner's name, but they didn't know who I was, and I kept it that way for a year. So when we're talking about financing, typically a 1-4-unit building can be purchased as owner-occupied as long as you live in one unit. So that may be a way to both buy a property you're living in and a property that is an income property from the get-go.
Another thing to think about is you could go a little bit bigger than you would maybe be comfortable with on your own income. But if you have a cosigner or somebody like that that can help you get into the property, you can rent rooms out. If you're already used to living with mom and dad, maybe you want to live with some friends and you rent the rooms out, you generate some income that way. So there's ways to be creative when you have fairly limited resources, especially when you're young and you're willing to compromise a little bit on your personal lifestyle. You don't have to have your own home, your own space. You're willing to share, you're willing to rent, sublet, things like that. So be creative.
All right, good stuff. It's Ask the Guys. Your questions, our answers, lots more when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend 4 fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforest, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top 7 tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Kim Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Woman, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. If you have a question for The Real Estate Guys, go to our website at realestateguysradio.com. Click Ask the Guys. That's what all these folks did. They asked the guys, and we're answering a bunch of questions. By the way, coming up in October, we're headed back to Belize for the Belize Field Trip. I just got back and met a whole bunch of amazing folks, all listeners of The Real Estate Guys, go figure. And we had an extraordinary time. So hello to my new friends from the Belize Field Trip. Hey, this question comes from Constantinos in Derby, Connecticut. He says, hey guys, I wanted to know your ideas on the best way to purchase my next investment property. I currently own an owner-occupied multifamily with a mortgage on it. Well, there you go. Owner-occupied multifamily. We were just talking about that, Constantinos. Additionally, I own a condo and a single family. He owns a condo and a single family home. This guy needs to talk to Brian, I'm thinking. So let's make that happen. I own a single family home plus the condo. They're owned outright with no liens. I like the idea of owning the properties outright, and I have a higher net income, but I would also like to buy more properties and increase my real estate portfolio. Stop there for a minute. If you own the property for cash, there's more cash flow from it, but we love leverage because it magnifies returns. All right, waiting to rack up the cash to buy outright would take a long time for my next property. I know you guys like the idea of leveraging and was thinking of using the equity in my investment properties to do that. The options that I know of through a bank are either taking out a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, or a home equity loan from my single family investment home. But I'm not sure which is best. Because the home is non-owner occupied, my interest rate would be in the ballpark of 5 to 6% for either option. My goal would be to buy and hold long term, as I'm a cash flow seeking investor. Your thoughts and ideas would mean a lot. Thank you ahead of time for addressing my question. All right.
All right, so I have several comments on this.
Of course you do.
Choosing to leverage a completely unencumbered property is a personal decision. Some people just are so averse to debt and don't want anybody to have a claim on the property. Of course, the price you pay for that is you move fairly slowly because you have to save up, to your point, cash flow. You don't get the same amount of deductions. You don't have the same amount of top line real estate because leverage allows you to depreciate the portion of the property that you purchased with the leverage, if that makes sense. So a couple principles here. First of all, in terms of the HELOC and things like that, you never want to borrow short and invest long.
Right.
That's dangerous. So you really have to understand the terms of the loans you use to harvest equity out of an existing property. Always better to borrow long and invest short. So make sure that you don't have adjustable rates that are going to adjust in 2 and 3 years when you've purchased a property for the long term, or the loan could be called. Especially with HELOCs, you have to be very, very careful. So make sure you understand the terms of the loan. I'm a big fan right now of 30-year fixed. I know you pay a little bit extra for it, but that extra degree of security in uncertain interest rate times, especially if you like the properties for the long term, you don't pay as much of a premium as you used to for that 30-year loan. And now you've borrowed very, very long, which is effectively short the dollar. And then all you got to do is make sure that the conservative cash flow on the subject property is coming in at a net operating income rate that is higher than the cost to borrow. And when you do that, you're making money on the spread. So if I can borrow money at 3% and earn at 5, I want to do that.
Or even this example of borrowing money at 5 or 6% and earn at 8 or 7 or...
8 or 10 or whatever it is. Yeah, so you just have to make sure that the subject property, new property, just is going to cash flow the way you need it to cash flow in order to easily cover the cost of the borrowed funds and the loan on the existing property with all your set-asides and conservative estimates. It can make a lot of sense. And the other thing about it is when you do the math on the leverage and the leverage ratio, and if the properties were to both appreciate, you're going to see a greater equity growth rate through that leverage. If you have 50% down in two properties and the property goes up 2%, then you've made 4% on your equity because you get the 2% on the bank side of it. So it's hard to describe on the radio, but the concept of leverage is one that it magnifies appreciation. The flip side is if the property goes down, you know, the thing that you have to have is good, solid cash flows to give you a chance to wait that out. As bad as the 2008 financial crisis was for real estate, it was pretty bad, worst, you know, in modern history. 10 years later, most of the properties in most markets came back if you had the cash flow to ride it out. So if you pick the right market, you pick the right property, use the right financing structure, you can ride those ups and downs if you're a long-term investor, which you said you are. So just make sure you don't borrow short and invest long. You want to borrow long and invest short or long.
And again, you're a guy that says you want to increase your real estate portfolio, so I have another thing to think about. I like to separate out properties between high leverage and no leverage. The best scenario you can be in to be the safest is to either own it 100% outright with no liens or have a lot of leverage, because either way, you're not much of a target. So I think that if you've got the ability to leverage and get loans and build up your credit, you're going to get there faster, and that's certainly worth considering. At the same time, it's peace of mind to own at least one property outright. May not make as much financial sense sometimes when times are tough. It sure can.
Here's just a sidebar question you didn't ask but maybe should have, is if all of those properties are in your own name, you probably want to separate them out into some different LLCs and work with an asset protection attorney to help you do that, because if anything were to go wrong in one, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, a lot of equity that people can get their hands on, and believe me, you'll be a target. So take some time and look at your asset protection strategies at the same time you're looking at expanding your portfolio and potentially using leverage.
It's Ask the Guys. Your questions, our answers. This one comes from David in Boise, Idaho. He says, hey, are there limits as to the percentage of a self-directed IRA that is available to invest? Can I invest every penny into one real estate project, for example? Can a self-directed IRA be a partner in an LLC? All right. Well, we are not tax advisors, but we definitely have some thoughts here.
I mean, the short answer is it's our understanding. Yes and yes.
Yes, exactly.
In other words, yeah. I mean, if it's self-directed, you can direct it. If you decide you want to put all of your IRA eggs in one basket and you think that that's a good investment, and, you know, you could make the argument one way or the other, but be that as it may, in terms of are you allowed to do it, to my understanding, yes, you are. Of course, you're going to want to check with a good IRA custodian, a tax advisor who can confirm that for you. And the second thing was about, can it be invested in an LLC? Yeah, we've done that many, many times. So
Absolutely.
It's very, very common. In fact, it's one of the great uses of it. It's a great way for an IRA to get put into what we call private placements. These are non-publicly traded investments where you're investing because you know the principal, you know the deal, you really understand it, and you feel good about it, and you're not competing with as many people for the opportunity. So a lot of times you can find very good deals doing that.
Now you say, can I invest every penny into one real estate project? And we say yes. A different question is, should I invest every penny into one real estate project? Well, that obviously depends on your personal investment philosophy and how much you have in your retirement account. It may be prudent to diversify, but if you only have $25,000 there, you may not be able to. So,
well, and it's only one part of your overall portfolio, right? I mean, so it might be 100% of your IRA, but only 25% of your overall portfolio, or 10% of your overall portfolio. So without having that information, we can't say. Generally speaking, not a good idea to put all your eggs in one deal or one property, even if you think it's a grand slam home run. And that's hard advice to give, right? I mean, and again, we don't give advice, but it's hard advice to take, because, I mean, we've had situations where, you know, we've backed off or suggested to people, hey, you might consider backing off from this investment. And sure enough, the investment turned out to be a grand slam home run, you know, double digits, right? 25-30% annualized returns. Like, oh, I should have put more in. Well, yeah, because it came out good. But if it would have gone bad, then you would have lost everything. So sometimes it's never good to be greedy, right? You make good decisions, you follow good formulas, you obey good principles, and you trust that you're going to get your fair share, maybe your unfair share. But sometimes when you swing for the fences, if you hit the ball hard, you get the grand slam. Sometimes you swing real hard and you strike out. So if you can't afford that, then you just need to make sure that you're diverse in your portfolio.
All right. Thanks, David. This question comes from Kevin in Bellingham, Washington. Hi, guys. I've been listening to the show for a couple of years now, and I love the content. Your message of education for effective action is really great. And in that vein, do you recommend paying for online courses in real estate, such as insert title of class here? He's mentioned a particular program. If that's not advisable, is studying for a realtor's license a good way to learn about leasing and purchase and sales transactions for someone involved in a small commercial real estate business? All right, well, some good stuff here. First of all, do we recommend paying for online courses in real estate? Well, that would totally depend on the nature of the subject matter, the reputation of the teacher, and if you thought you could use that information. We are big proponents of paying for education because we find that free education tends to come with strings. That's not always the case, but rarely is something free truly free. There's no free lunch. We were talking about this on the field trip, that you should always know somebody's agenda. When you come on a Real Estate Guys field trip, our agenda is to teach you the market and show you the drivers, not to sell you property. We are not in the brokerage business. However, lots of folks are. There's a lot of these trips that are, well, let's call them what they are, fly-in-bys, where a developer or a real estate broker will invite you for a subsidized rate, usually to come and check out a market and then liquor you up and get you to buy something. And you know what? Maybe that'll work out for you, but maybe not. So we're absolutely not opposed to paying for online courses, but there's also a lot of online stuff out there that may not be worth it to you. Might be worth it to somebody else, may not be worth it to you. So that's my thought on that. Any additional ideas?
Well, I think there's two sides. One is, you know, exactly what you were saying, Robert, is that paying for education, sure, if you want quality anything, typically you're going to pay. Anybody who's out there in the marketplace putting something of value should expect to get value in return. The other part is the investment in yourself. I've mentioned many times on the show how I paid $2,500 for a one-day class on how to start a mortgage company. Now, somebody might say, wow, $2,500 for one day, that's a lot. Well, it is if you don't start the mortgage company. But in my case, I did. And within a couple of years, I was making a lot more than that. I mean, way more than that. And so it was a great investment. And I can honestly tell you, if I'd paid $99 for that course, I probably would not have forced myself to take the action. It's, you know, we make this joke about our attorney and I made a bet a couple of years ago. And we had to set the stakes really high. It was like, hey, we both wanted to lose some weight. All right. Well, you know, we had to set the stakes high because otherwise you get up in the morning like, you know what? Not so much, right? But when the stakes were high, it's like, you know what? I've got to do this. I can't afford to lose this. I could not let that $2,500 investment go. So we're proponents of paying. We're even more proponents of being invested. And that's when you're committed. An investment, the concept of an investment is I'm going to put money into something with the expectation of getting more than I put in out. And it should be even more than an expectation. It should be a demand that you put on yourself. I'm going to demand a return on my investment. I forced myself to take the actions necessary to get a return. If you are that type of person, yes, by all means, go buy the education that you need, demand you get a return on it by taking action. Now, you also asked a little bit about professional education.
Yeah, that's a whole other question. And it really isn't just about professional education. Specifically, he says, is studying for a realtor's license a good way to learn about leasing and purchase and sale transactions? Well, I would say absolutely. It's a great way to learn that. When I was teaching at the college level, I taught real estate appraisal. I taught real estate principles. I taught real estate practices. More than 80% of the people in those college classrooms were not interested in getting a realtor's license. They were interested in learning about those things, becoming investors, maybe being appraisers or looking at other possible businesses that they could start. So I think it's a great way. I don't know that it's the best way,
right?
Because sometimes that education is so geared towards somebody passing a test that it's not really about learning. It's like the difference between reading a really great, passionate book by an author that has a message or a college textbook.
Right, exactly. I think the big thing is most of the time when you're getting anything in the professional licensing arena, you are being trained on how to represent someone else. You will learn about the structure and the legalities of a transaction, and you should know those things. So it's not waste by any means. But in terms of really being the highest level of practical investment knowledge, probably not so good, because you're really being taught about how to keep yourself and your broker out of trouble, avoid lawsuits, complying with consumer-friendly law. When you get into real estate investing, it's a very, very different animal. The best way to learn it is to be around other investors, to do investing. There are lots of investing classes you can take, and then you rely upon your technical advisors. I don't regret any of the technical classes I took. But it wasn't because I kept up on all the technicalities, because right. these things are constantly changing. The laws, the court precedents, you know, the regulations, the forms, everything's changing. If you're a practitioner, you have to stay up on all that. But if you're an investor, you don't, because your practitioners do that for you. However, you have to have enough understanding of the transaction to be able to get through it and to know when to ask questions and to know, understand what's going on so you can make business decisions. My dad taught me that when you work with your attorneys and when you work with your accountants, those people are there to give you technical advice, but they don't make business decisions. Business decisions are about making decisions about taking risk with capital. I'm going to invest my capital. I'm going to accept this risk. The technical advisors help you understand what the risk is, and then you have to decide whether or not you're willing to take it. I hope that makes sense.
You turn to the Real Estate Guys radio program. It's Ask the Guys. Your questions are answers. If you have a question for the guys, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com. Click on Ask the Guys. We come back more questions. Plus, we'll ask you a question. It's Real Estate Trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Stop for a moment. Why are you listening to this show? Are you dreaming of a bigger, brighter financial future? More personal freedom to live life on your own terms? What if there was just one skill that could make it happen? There is. Sales. Robert Kiyosaki says every entrepreneur must be good at sales. It's true for investors too. Sales is how you attract money, people, and opportunities. Sales is the skill used to negotiate deals and lead your team. Sales skills are essential to success. The good news is, it's a learnable skill. The great news is, we've created a two-day interactive workshop to teach those skills to you. Make plans today to attend How to Win Funds and Influence People, Mastering the Art of Financial Selling. For dates and details, send an email to sales@realestateguysradio.com or visit realestateguysradio.com and look under events. Gain the skills you need to succeed. Email sales@realestateguysradio.com or look under the events tab at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, I'm G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, a second look at the Federal Reserve. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every week on this fabulous radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. And no matter how you're listening, we love that you are. It could be the radio, could be a podcast. Maybe somebody's holding up their headphone to your ear. Anyway, thanks for listening to The Real Estate Guys. We're talking about the things that are on your mind. It's Ask the Guys. Every 6 or 8 weeks, we like to do a show like this where we answer your questions. Before we get back to those, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by answering a Real Estate Trivia question. In just a minute, I'm going to give you a question that's something you do with real estate, and you're going to come up with the answer or your best guess. Once you do that, send it to us to trivia@realestateguysradio.com, along with your name and your mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to send you a physical copy of Second Chance, the latest book by Robert Kiyosaki. That can be yours if you know today's Real Estate Trivia question. Last week on The Real Estate Guys, we pulled one out of the archives. Every now and then, our travel schedule is so crazy, and it has been, that we play a replay of a show. And when we do that, we usually update the trivia question, which we did this time because, of course, it was right around Independence Day in the U.S. Here's our question. The Star-Spangled Banner was originally a poem stemming from Francis Scott Key's observations in 1814 of an attack on Fort McHenry. Where is Fort McHenry? Well, it's located in Baltimore, Maryland. Here's our question for this week. What city was the first in the world to use electric streetlights? What city in the world was first to use electric streetlights? Now, you don't have to know when, just the name of the city. Take your best guess, send it to us to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Give us your name, the answer to the question, and your physical mailing address so that you can be the winner of Second Chance by Robert Kiyosaki. It's Ask the Guys. Your questions are answers. Great questions from our great listeners. This one comes from Dennis in Singapore. He says, what's the best country in the world to invest in right now? Malta. All right, our next question comes from Malta. I don't know. So this is a great question. What is the best country in the world to invest in? And that's going to be a big old giant. It depends.
Yeah, it really does. It really depends. You know, there's a lot of money pouring into the United States right now with all the global uncertainty. And that's because the United States has a long history of rule of law, respect for private property rights, stable currency, stable economy, big army. Of course, when you live in the United States and you look at the direction it's going, some people are thinking, huh, I need to get out of Dodge, you know? And of course, when you're an American citizen, your rights are a little bit different than when you're, you know, not, which is kind of crazy. So there really is no great answer for that. I think that it's more of a philosophical question. The best country for you to invest in is a country where you feel that your right to own property is protected by government, where you can get a good, clear title and possession of the property, where you understand the laws of ownership and the property taxes, where you have the ability to effectively manage the property well, and that could be through people who you know there. You've built a team. We talk about that all the time, the importance of you start with the market and then you pick a team and the team really helps you. And then, of course, it depends on what you're looking for, right? I mean, I'm a big fan of lifestyle investing. As we've gone through our evolution, if you will, as real estate investors, we've really gravitated towards lifestyle. You get to a point in life where you go, life is too short to travel to places you don't want to be and deal with people you don't want to deal with and deal with issues. You know, we all have problems to face, but there's certain things that are fun to solve, right? And when you enjoy the subject matter, even the hard times are not that bad. So the best market for you could be a market you'd love to visit. It could be a place where you get to deal with people that you really enjoy. And, you know, it may not perform financially as well as some other markets, but there's a lot more to life than just maximum financial. It's really, how do you want to live and how does a property support your lifestyle? You don't live for the property. The property should be supporting your lifestyle.
Well, and we like to look at international property as just a way to diversify our holdings. And frankly, a lot of what saved us in the downturn where things went bad, and we've been pretty forthright about that over the years, is that we invested in places that weren't the same as the major market that we had invested in. So I would say look around, kiss some frogs. If you're open to traveling outside of your state, outside of your country, across borders, then do that. It takes a little more to learn that stuff, but it can be well worth the time invested. Plus, there's some great, great markets. One of the markets we're invested has not had a down real estate market in the last dozen years. There's never been a buyer's market. It just continues to go up, 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 while the real estate in the U.S. has gone up and down and down and up and so forth. Then there's other markets that have been continuously worse year after year after year after year. That means maybe there's opportunity coming, or maybe a market like that has nowhere else to go but down further.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because, you know, obviously I know the market you're talking about. And sometimes people say, well, the only way I could buy real estate is if they're financing. Well, the problem with financing is when there's financing present in a market, it causes the prices to go up. And when the financing terms change, interest rates change, the availability changes, it causes the market to go down. A lot of times, bubble markets is what I call them, markets that have financial air blown into them. And the United States is one of those markets. You get greater gyrations. Whereas a marketplace like the one we're referring to, there is no debt. So there, you know, sure, people can finance other things, cross collateralize, bring money in. But largely the pricing is based on cash purchases, which means that when economic times slow down, specifically debt markets slow down, purchasing power doesn't slow down in a market like that because it was never predicated on financing. So again, markets have personalities based on their legal structure, their financing conventions, what the economy is based on, whether it's based on tourism, things that are more discretionary, whether it's based on local activity. One of the great things that we just covered in our presentation on resort property investing is that when you have a resort property or you have farmland where you're selling commodities all over the world, you are deriving customers or income from all over the world. You don't have to get the local economy spot on. If you're buying a property where you're going to be renting to somebody who's working at a local job and that local economy takes a dip, well, you know, your property is going to suffer for that. So there's a lot of factors. And again, it's a matter best for you is going to be not just how you want to live, but also what type of financial result you're trying to produce and what type of volatility or risk you're willing to take in order to achieve that result. Because the other thing about markets where there's not a lot of financing, when money gets loose, doesn't really change much. You know, it's kind of just steady Eddie. So right now, steady Eddie, I think, is very attractive to a lot of people, and for good reason. And yet, you know, we see markets that have gotten red hot and people have made tons of money since the financial crash. The debt markets collapsed, everything went way down, and then they busily reinflated the bubble and created more easy financing, and the bubbles come back up again. So you can ride those cycles. It really depends on what you're trying to accomplish, what you're willing to do, what you feel comfortable with.
Well, there's our big long answer to your tiny little question, but it was a good one, and we've got more questions when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick from Paradigm Life. I've recently written an ebook called The Perpetual Wealth Strategy. The ebook discusses one of the best investments, real estate, combined with a financial vehicle used by the wealthy, many U.S. presidents, famous actors, athletes, and even Houdini himself. You can download the ebook for free in the resources section on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Have fun. You'll learn something.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hey, if you've ever wanted to do bigger deals using other people's money, well, then it's time you quit thinking about it and made your plans to come out to the Secrets of Successful Syndication. It's coming up in September in Phoenix, Arizona. All the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. It's Ask the Guys Today. Great questions from our great listeners. This one comes from Yan in Dallas, Texas. Yan says, hi, I just started to listen to your show last night, and I love it. I'm from Dallas and new to real estate, and wonder for a small investor where I can meet some of the local gurus like you guys in the DFW area. What's your thought on DFW investment? I did sign up for a meetup, but like you've said, you can never find great deals from LoopNet, Zillow, or Redfin. So where can I find the network and start to build relationships? Thanks in advance. All right, well, first of all, we really aren't gurus. We really fashion ourselves more like journalists to bring ideas and information to you. So no offense against the gurus out there. That's just kind of not our thing. But where do you find folks who talk real estate, know real estate? Well, in every market, there's somebody who's putting together either a weekly or a monthly get together. Maybe there's an investment club. Maybe there's someone who's teaching classes. There's a lot of places to look to find great information on real estate investing.
Yeah, Dallas. I mean, Dallas has been a very, very hot investment market for the last, 8 years now for sure. And there's all kinds of activity in that marketplace. We just did a field trip there a little while ago. There are all kinds of investment clubs going on. Seminars come in and out of Dallas all the time. We do seminars there, and investors from all over the country and certainly all over the area come. Yeah, Brad Sumrock, you know, who's been on the show, just did his apartment training in Dallas. He does that 3 times a year. I think there's another one coming up again later this year. If you missed this last one, just make sure you're visiting the Real Estate Guys website and get on our events list. The point is, you got to get out there and you just got to, you know, ask around. You got to find these people. You got to network. And if it sounds like, gee, that's not very precise, that's exactly why there's opportunity, because people who are looking for it to be precise, when a market gets too efficient, think the stock market. When you want to buy a share of stock, it is being absolutely perfectly marketed. Everybody in the world can see that stock. Everybody can bid on that stock. They can do the trade for like $7.95 on whatever their online brokerage account is. And it's just everybody competing for that one piece of stock, perfectly priced. Very hard to find inefficiencies. That's why these guys have to buy these high frequency trading, and they try and get ahead by a nanosecond just to get in front of you and front run you. Real estate is not that way at all. There's so much inefficiency in real estate. So network, get to know people, go on trips, go to seminars, and pretty soon you're going to get connected. You'll be able to find the posers from the players pretty quickly. Just learn to ask good questions. Listen a lot more than you talk, and it'll all start to come crystal clear.
A couple of things about Dallas. First of all, it's a top 10 market in terms of population size, the Metroplex there. So that's great news, because there's lots of events that either originate locally or that come to town. So get around real estate events. When you go to a real estate event, it's not just about what the sage on the stage says. It's about the people you meet in the room. Find out who's active in the business, how they're learning, what books they're reading. That's great. The other thing about Dallas, you can go back in our archives, and a few months ago we did a show with three different, what we call providers, people that help people invest in real estate in Dallas. So since you're there and you're interested in the market, that might be a good idea. But Yan, more power to you. Go make it happen. Our last question of the day comes from Ram in Fremont, California. He says, hey guys, commercial properties seem to be selling at very low cap rates today. What's a reasonable rate to buy in this market? Thanks. Well, I don't know this is the same as the what is the best country in the world question, but what's a reasonable rate? I will tell you this, cap rates in commercial properties, whether it's office, retail, apartments, are definitely coming down. And all that means is that people are paying more for the same stream of income. It's competitive out there. So what's reasonable to pay? Well, the rates, the cap rates vary drastically by MSAs. Dallas is not the same as Houston. New York is not the same as Chicago. Northern California different from Southern California. There's lots of different places you can invest commercially. What you want to look at, moreover than just what the cap rate is the trends.
Yeah, you have to find out what is making the properties move and which direction they're moving. So, you know, commercial, that can cover a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, if it's an income property, it's who's the tenant, what industry they're in, what is the direction of that particular tenant or industry, what's the look going on in the local economy? What are the impact of supply and demand? I happen to know the Bay Area pretty well. There's a fair amount, actually, of commercial property still available there in Silicon Valley. At the same time, there's very little ability to expand very much because it's pretty well built up. You have to go pretty far south or pretty far east in order to be able to build anything, and that gets you away from major traffic infrastructure because with that bay there, it's hard to have big traffic infrastructure. But ultimately, what you're looking at when you're going to look at a property is the spread. What does it cost me to, you know, access the capital to acquire the property, and how much cash they're offering? What type of operating income am I going to get? We talked about this earlier. If I can borrow at 5 and invest at 8, I get a 3% spread. That can make sense. The other thing is what are you investing for? If you're investing for the long haul, then your cash flow or your cash on cash return is only a part of the equation. A lot of these people that are owning these big commercial properties are owning them for a long period of time. And what happens over that period of time is the rents eventually go up, and therefore the values go up just because of the natural effect of inflation. A lot of people buy real estate because it's a hedge against inflation. You just have to decide what you're investing for and whether that is going to make sense for you. Commercial can be great, right? If you get the right tenant, can be not so great if you get the wrong tenant because getting in is expensive. You've got your tenant improvements, your big leasing commissions up front. You're going to amortize that over the lease term. And then if the tenant breaks the lease and they can't pay, and then you have to go after them, it's not a novice investor's game by any stretch.
Well, I think the other thing is the financing available. There's not a ready supply of financing for a lot of commercial deals today, except for multifamily. And multifamily, there are. You can go back and listen to the show we did with Michael Becker some weeks ago. He's a commercial lender and great, great guy when it comes to commercial financing. But commercial properties are being squeezed. Why is that? Because investors see stability there. If it's big, credit-rated tenants that are there in long leases with option periods, people are fighting for that
stuff. Well, and the money's cheap.
And the money is cheap. So it's, you know, you just have to look around a lot. And then you've got to find the nuances of a market. You may have to go a little bit outside to a secondary or tertiary market. You might change product types. But look around. If you do that long enough, you'll definitely find some values no matter what kind of product type you're investing in real estate. Well, thanks for all your great questions today. We have more that we could answer, and we will in a future edition of Ask the Guys. But if your burning question hasn't gotten to us yet, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click Ask the Guys. So big thanks to you, our listeners, for submitting your questions and for listening today. Next week on the Real Estate Guys, we'll be back in Las Vegas, Nevada. We've got some great guests and a great show. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.